Matrix. 923, I'll give you a corrected address, but you have a fire in a one-story ordinary, looks like it's about 40 by 120, 125. Get your traffic control. Squad 5, squad 5. England to 273, 273. England Battalion, 18 Battalion. With a 273, 273.
Hi, this is Dr. Beth Murphy, and I am a clinical psychologist in private practice and your host of the Firefighter Behavioral Health. I am doing this episode from Honolulu. So I'm actually in Hawaii, which is fun, but I'm actually here on baby watch. My daughter's having a baby. She's due tomorrow. So I'm here to help out. So it's kind of a mixing business with pleasure, so to speak. So I'm hoping that everything comes through okay. I've been listening to my show. You probably noticed the last few times. John Murphy, my wonderful husband, has been running the dashboard for me. So I'm actually on my own and hoping that everything works out. So I'm on the air. I can obviously hear what is, I heard the intro, so that's a good thing. And hopefully my microphone is working. As far as I can tell, it is. I don't see anything here that says that it's not. So looks like things are starting off fairly good. As I said, I'm here helping out my daughter. So I just want to forewarn you that there's three little boys running through the house and always a chance that I might get interrupted. So I'll try and remember I'm on the air and not yell at them. Not like I spend a lot of time yelling at them, but sometimes you say things that you're like, oh, I hope nobody recorded that. So such is life. So this is like one of those things where I am like, this is what it means to be flexible, and it's part of resiliency. So I look at these situations as, okay, it's time to grow. With that said, I was going to talk a little bit about PTSD, but not in the way that we usually think about it and talk about it. I just read an article recently that talked about PTSD and then talked about moral injury. And I really liked what was said in the article, and the author wrote things in a way that I personally had thought about them. I read it and I'm like, I could have written this article, but I just don't write. It makes me wish I did write more. But I just like the way everything was written about, and I like the fact that this author brought up moral injury and how there is a prevalence in the fire service of individuals experiencing moral injury, and that this can look a lot like PTSD, but it's not necessarily PTSD, or, you know, by the, I don't know, by the way they're meeting the criteria. And so a lot of people, in order to get help and treatment, would be diagnosed with PTSD, even though maybe that's really not the problem per se, but it's more this moral injury. you're listening to the show, if you've heard the term moral injury, it's one that the military has been using. And pretty much like most of everything we know about trauma and traumatic experiences and what contributes to those experiences and the outcome of those experiences comes from the military first. And so the term moral injury has been something that has been looked at, written about, researched since probably about 2012. At least that's like one of the earliest dates that I saw. I mean, it could have been thrown around earlier. And so the military was looking at that. So you may be wondering, well, what does that mean? If you haven't read about it or heard about it, then I'm sure you're going, well, what is moral injury? And so moral injury is experience traumatic or unusually stressful circumstances. It comes about when the people, the person, or the persons involved fail to prevent or witness events that contradict deeply held moral beliefs and expectations. So when someone does something that goes against their beliefs, or they fail to do something in line with their beliefs. So if they do something against their beliefs, and I'm not quite sure how important these terms are in reference to this, but just because they're sitting right in front of my face, I'm going to use the definitions because it might make sense to people in that way. So that doing something that goes against your beliefs is referred to as an act of commission. And then when you fail to do something in line with your beliefs, then it's often referred to as an act of omission. And then people may also experience betrayals. It can be from leadership. It can be from other positions of power, and it's not necessarily that the individual has a position of power by title, but it can be like a position of power that is like more informal, or it's something that the individual who is struggling had placed on this person, and then it can also be on peers. So like the others in position of power, it could be like a mentor, for instance. And so that may not be your officer. It could be a peer that has more years of experience, for instance. It could be somebody outside the department too. But there's a lot of ways that people can have a leadership role or a position of power. So it's something that could be formal or informal, basically. And then it also can be spiritual. So there can be a spiritual aftermath of an exposure. And then a moral injury can occur in response to acting or witnessing behaviors that go against an individual's values and moral beliefs. So there's, in this sense, there's, you know, some overlap with PTSD, obviously. With PTSD, you've experienced something traumatic or you've witnessed something traumatic, and this is basically the same for moral injury. Now, moral injury is not a diagnosis, but it is often something that shows up in people who have PTSD, but if you've experienced a moral injury, it doesn't necessarily mean that you will develop PTSD. Impact of it can be pretty severe. And so I think like with PTSD, one of the things that we talk about a lot as far as like a mental health provider, is how it changes a person's worldview. I mean, so it impacts how they interact with their environment. It impacts how they interact with other people. And a lot of it comes down to, well, I can't trust the environment. I can't trust other people, or I can't trust myself. And in the fire service, this is something that I've seen come out a lot more, which this is one of the reasons why I wanted to talk a little bit about moral injury, and kind of in the context of PTSD, because I've seen it a lot in my practice, and I've seen experiences of moral injury compounding PTSD. And hopefully this makes sense. I'm going to try not to go off the rails too much in talking about this, because I pretty much could, because I'm still really rolling this around in my mind and making sense of it myself and figuring it out. How can I change things up to address moral injury? Now, that this isn't anything new for me, but it is a new term, so something that I haven't talked about or worked with directly, but this idea of being part of something that goes against your beliefs, feeling of being betrayed. This is something that I see, as I said before, coming up in my practice with a lot of first responders that I work with. And it really complicates things. So I think that it's something, and I'm not sure if this is something that, you know, maybe it should be a diagnosis, but it might. And, well, I was going to say it might be a symptom, and they might address it as a symptom, but it's more of the person's, it is a perception of the individual who's struggling, but it is really based on the actions of what is outside of the individual, which they don't have control over, which is also a big issue. So I'm going to try and talk about it in terms of like what I've seen in my practice. So obviously I've had people come in and they've either come in with a diagnosis of PTSD or I diagnosed them with PTSD. So they met that criteria. And a lot of the treatments are focused on dealing with the traumas. Prolonged exposure therapy, cognitive processing therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy. I mean, those are therapies that very much focus on the trauma and the feelings around the trauma, or the trauma, the feelings around the trauma, and the thoughts involved with the trauma. But it's focused on the trauma. Like, you experience something traumatic, so you are affected by that trauma. And that's one of the things. So PTSD is under a category of acute traumatic stress. It's acute stress disorder. I don't know why I just went blank on the word that I wanted, because I'm not saying what I want to say. So this is what happens when you're out of your comfort zone, which somewhere trying to deliver a talk. So it used to be that PTSD was thought of as an anxiety disorder, which, you know, it would make sense because the reactivity was something that, you know, we focused on, you know, like that hyper alertness, the physiological reactivity. So that would be, you know, that's where it was. So like when I started into psychology, that was basically where PTSD was listed. So it was like you experienced something traumatic and it caused this hyper aroused state, which then you dealt with in any number of ways, often in unhealthy ways. And then you'd be left with this heightened reactivity. So then they changed it to be under stress disorders. Excuse me. And so then it was, it moved it away from the focus on the physiological anxious reactivity and put it more in the realm of, okay, now, you know, we're recognizing all the different things that happen when you're exposed to traumatic stressors. And so it's focused on, you have this traumatic stress and then you have this physiological reactivity. You have these coping strategies that you employ both consciously and unconsciously. And then you have these thoughts about yourself and judgment about yourself in the world and others and so forth. So it kind of expanded it out to incorporate more of what was going on. But again, it was still focused on the events. And that was something that had always, to me, felt a bit unsatisfying, was that it was always focused on the traumatic stressor and nothing else around it. And that, is, I think, is where like moral injury comes in, because a lot of what I'm seeing is people's sense of self, trust in themselves, trust in others, trust in the organization, that sense of being betrayed. I see a lot of that. And so it's like they have PTSD symptoms, as you would expect. It looks like what you would expect it to look like. But then it's like there's this other piece that just seems to grab hold of them and keep them from getting better. And so I've spent a lot of therapy sessions like talking somebody down because they're not getting the support that they need, because they feel like they're being pushed out of the fire department. Because like, you know, some organization, you know, whether it's their department or it's workers' comp or it's the third party insurer, or maybe it's their personal physician, or, I mean, but it's a number of, it could be anybody really, but just a sense of like people aren't doing the right thing. People aren't taking care of them. They aren't listening to them. So a lot of times it's about that omission, act of omission I mentioned earlier. Sometimes people will complain of like the act of commission. So, and I've seen that a couple times where like a paramedic has gone on a medical call and they, in telling their story, it sounded like they did everything they were trained to do. They did everything right. There were factors going on around them that they really didn't have control over, but they were really focused on what they did, but then that shifted to what they didn't do. And so then these individuals are like, well, I should have done this. I should have known this. you know, a whole bunch of shoulds and coulds, and then this drive to learn more and be more educated. And it's not bad to education. It's not bad to look at what you did and didn't do and to think about, well, what could I do better? But when I see them in my practice, then it comes down to, well, I didn't do this, whatever this is. And that's really hard to let go. And it's like once an individual starts down that road, it's really difficult to pull them back because they just want more and more and more and, you know, more training and more knowledge, more education. And it doesn't really help. Like they get that education, they seek that training. And when they get it, it's like never enough. So, and like I said before, nothing wrong with looking at how you did and wanting to be better, but this is a more extreme version of that. So if you heard that little voice, that was my first interruption. but you might not have heard it. It might have just been me. So I see where it's like the person has maybe not all criteria of PTSD, but they have, they're experiencing this moral injury, this error of, or act of commission or act of omission. I would say that most of what I see is when the individual feels that the department is really letting them down. And I think that some of that comes from, or maybe it's a lot of it, it comes from the description of the fire service as being a family. I've seen some pretty dysfunctional families too. So I have a different lens that I look at the fire service through because, like, I've seen how dysfunctional families can be. But people have expectations of their families. And it is a hard one to help people cope with when they are experiencing PTSD and they are not, and they don't feel supported. They don't feel supported by the department or feel supported by individuals around them. And it can go further than that, you know, not just support, but that they don't agree with how their department is dealing with things or handling other people and so forth. So that's a hard one to help people get over because they don't have control over the department and how the department functions. And so we actually spend a lot of time talking about things that they can't control. And it, you know, basically the two ends of the spectrum when it involves your work, the organization or people in leadership position or a position of power, when they, violate your trust either through omission or commission, then the individuals feel really helpless. And so the extreme choices there on the ends of the spectrum is when, well, you can leave. So you can leave the department, which is kind of like, well, if you can't handle it and you can't let things go, then you could just leave. And then the other hand of it is that you need to like stay in it, but then find a way to not care. And that can be a dangerous thing too, because the things that people will often do to help them manage the job and being exposed to traumatic stressors, people suffering, they will find that they can kind of shut their emotions down while they're doing the job, and then they may or may not address those emotions later. And whether or not they address those emotions later really depends on the trust that the individual has with the organization, with their media crew, or, you know, whoever they're working with, but having like trust in that environment to be able to process whatever comes up. And that's something that seems to be lacking. So even in departments that have peer support programs, and I've had a lot of people within these peer support programs talk about like how great they are and how advanced they are, and I swear they want to fight me when I say it's, you know, it's great that you have this, but there's still this stigma. and the reality is, it is. You know, peer support programs are fraught with problems. I mean, they're amazing, and they can be amazing. But again, this is another area that comes up a lot, is that, you know, almost without fail, someone within a department, or maybe a couple of someone's within a department, will talk about their peer support and talk about how, you know, so-and-so shouldn't be peer support. Nobody's going to talk to them, or that they would never use peer support because they don't trust them. And so that speaks to that betrayal piece, you know, so there's that fear that they're going to run and tell the administration, and then people become fearful for their jobs. So this idea of moral injury is, it's very complex, but actually really simple too. So, but it can come from a lot of different places, and it is not because of the traumatic experience. It is related to everything around the traumatic experience. Okay, that's not completely true. As I said that, I'm like, that's not true. It is a lot about what goes on around that, but it also can be part of that traumatic experience and how we view our role within it. So it can be that internal struggle. And that is something that we do as human beings. We are prone to make negative appraisals and to look at the downside of things with the purpose of improving, generally. It's like the more you experience that, the harder it is to experience those stressors, whether they're traumatic or not, and to find a way to look on the positive side of that and to use that as a learning tool. Now, if you've followed me, then you have heard me talk about resilience. And resilience is, in how I look at it and how I understand it, it's made up of factors related to being flexible, learning, and adapting. And adapting is that place where you make meaning of things. And I think that this is also the area where the impact of moral injury really can show itself, because moral injury forces you to do something or risk being uncomfortable to some degree if you don't. So it's recognizing when you do something and accepting that you did the best that you could do at that time. and knowing that you didn't cause that person to die or be severely injured. So it's finding a way to make meaning out of your interactions in that moment. And then afterwards, you know, like if are upset or were upset and you were questioning like what you did and didn't do, which again is like that's human nature to make negative appraisals because it allows us to have some control. And it will push us to do more, to be better, to, you know, go further. So if you can look at it that way, then you will eventually make some meaning out of it. And it might be as simple as, you know, that was a horrible call. That was really painful and it was full of emotions. It was really sad and you can feel those emotions. And then the thought of, well, I did everything I could do and I can learn, or I will learn a few more things. I mean, so it's like, what are you going to do with that experience? And so that's something that, you know, can affect like that, how you think about yourself. So as I was looking through, you know, as I was reading that article, and I wanted to explore it a little bit more, and I've wanted to explore the idea of moral injury a lot more because I'm like, this makes sense to me. And it makes sense to me in the context of what I see in my practice and the things that seem to really be hanging people up. So it's like, yes, they like the people I see, I would say that most, you know, and this is kind of an arbitrary number, but 90% and above. So most of my clients do meet criteria for PTSD, but the PTSD isn't what they struggle with the most. It's this something else. And so when I read this article about moral injury, I'm like, yeah, this is like what we've talked about. And so it's been difficult in working with people using the typical approaches to working with traumatic stressors. So I found myself being challenged with, what else could we do? What else could I address? And moral injury, the moral injury literature provides some information about, well, what you might want to do to deal with a moral injury. And simply put, like one of the articles that I had read said connection. So connecting with people, connecting with others that maybe have struggled similarly. And this is something that I've seen over and over again, is that when people make a connection with someone else that has this shared experience, or somebody that can listen and validate their experience, they start to do better. It's harder when they are still attached to the organization and they're having a lot of issues with the organization. And like I said, a lot of times the way that looks is they have a feeling that they are not wanted anymore and that they're being pushed out. Now, I know that that could possibly be true in some cases. I don't believe that it is true in all the cases. I do believe it's true that that is what individuals feel and that's how they perceive where they're at, and there could be a number of reasons why that happens. But I think a lot of it comes from the difficulty that people have in dealing with mental health. The fire service has a huge stigma. You know, I mean, we've come a long way in the sense that we're talking about it, still a huge stigma, and people still hold the belief that if they're struggling, that they're weak. And that is also something that can feed into this moral injury, because it's like, well, if you're weak and you can't do your job, then, you know, somehow you're doing something, you're not doing something. I mean, so if you're not doing your job, obviously you're not doing, you know, the perception is you're not doing the best that you can. Or if you're struggling with doing your job and you don't have confidence in yourself, then it becomes about, well, I don't know enough. I need to learn more. I need to do more. I need to be more. And in some instances, that drive to do more, to be more, to learn more is a good thing. But sometimes there can be too much of a good thing. So, so this is something, you know, something that I've seen, and having that connection with other people is really powerful, because people might be experiencing moral injury, but the effects of it will vary, and people's perceptions will vary, and being able to talk with somebody who has an understanding of, you know, the fire service and how it operates, and, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, it can help bring some balance to the person's understanding. I was thinking about, you know, how much power, if you will, the organization has over the individual, and their ability to heal. Some people are able to make that shift from, okay, I understand that, you know, the myth, if you will, is that the fire service is a family, to it's an organization. And there are a lot of practical things that the higher-ups in the organization need to consider that are not always in line with what the person on the line may be struggling with and needing. And it often comes down to, you know, the practical things of you know, like money and staffing and training and so forth. And even the departments and the administrators in the departments, they get pressure from elsewhere that kind of pushes them to do what they need to do. And those things are, I mean, they're in benefit to some level to the individuals, the line personnel, but it can feel like it is not, and that it's at odds. And when that happens, then there is a strong sense of betrayal that people feel from the organization. And it's really hard to move beyond that. And so that is something that, you know, when an individual is struggling with PTSD or PTSD-like symptoms, more and more along the lines of this moral injury, it's like when people connect with other people, then they're able to talk about these things, and it can help change their perspective. And it even is, I mean, it definitely is more powerful from a peer or somebody that you connected with because you sought them out, or you happen to connect with them, you know, like maybe meeting them at a conference or something. So then you connect, and then you tell your stories. and stories are powerful. And then that can help start to shift somebody's perspective so that they can, you know, realign themselves with their own values and morality, and they can have a better understanding of, like, leadership or the organization per se. So that's something that definitely needs to happen. John and I did a project with an organization around morale, because the department was really struggling with morale, and nobody trusted anybody. Like, nobody trusted the administration, and it was a combination department. So the career didn't trust the volunteers, and there just was a lot of distrust. And then there were a lot of other challenges that affected the department that were outside of that. And so one of the things that we found was really important was to have people assess their own values and beliefs and to line that up with the values and the beliefs of the department. And that is something that I talk to my clients about. And I think that that is really important too, is like, what are the values and the mission of your department? And are you working in alignment with that? And if not, where are you misaligned? And that can help a person start to feel empowered to work through this process and start to understand the aspects of moral injury. And I should say, because I don't want anybody to think that I haven't thought about this, but, you know, another area of moral injury, particularly as it relates to like betrayal, is harassment. And I know a lot of women experience this sense of betrayal because, you know, women are coming into the department and they're expecting to become part of the family. And that's not always the case. And it might be that they work with a crew where they do feel like they're accepted, but there may be some other individuals who are in a position of leadership or have power that undermine their sense of belonging. And then they can experience that betrayal, or they could start out working and feeling like they're fitting in and then feel betrayed because someone acts in a way that is against the individual's morality or values. And that can happen a lot. People don't see eye to eye. And we can read a lot into other people's actions. And so being and talking is a great way to avoid that. And I know that sometimes that's easier said than done, but it would help minimize a lot of the issues that we see in the department and a lot of the struggles. Now, these things are important, like I mentioned, like harassment. And I've mentioned in shows previously that people who are harassed in, you know, on the job, they will experience symptoms that are similar to PTSD. The individual that is experiencing that moral injury may not meet full criteria of PTSD, but they're experiencing a lot of the symptoms of PTSD. And so moral injury is not something that a person would get diagnosed with. Because it often to something that the department did or didn't do, or an individual with power did or didn't do. So that can be problematic. And then I can honestly say that in my practice, I haven't seen a lot of issues around the issues with spiritual. And I imagine that looks like where someone experiences something and they're questioning God and how God could let this happen, or how God could do this, or whatever that is. And I've heard on occasion comments that are similar to that. And so it's like people can have at least what I have seen in my practice, they have a short-term issue with questioning their faith, for instance. But it's like that could be so profound that could cause a lot of issues. And again, it's connecting and being able to talk about it and to make some meaning around it. I'm trying to think of like some of the cases that I have learned about. And I have to say a lot of them are related to not doing something, not being enough. And so and this is something that we see a lot with PTSD, is like this sense of shame and guilt. And I look at like shame and guilt as like, guilt is I did something wrong, and shame is I am wrong. And so those are often associated with a lot of shoulds. I should do this. I shouldn't do that. It can include factors associated with like sorrow and regret. And then I said the shame, alienation. So not feeling like you could be around someone when being around people is probably one of the healthiest thing that someone can do. What else? Pretty much any of the things associated with PTSD, which is why a lot of people experiencing moral injury often will get diagnosed with PTSD. And they may or may not meet full criteria, but if they are really struggling with the moral injury aspect, then they will definitely look like they are struggling with PTSD. So it is important that the individual working with them, so the mental health professional working with that individual, needs to understand moral injury and what it might entail. And this is something that I had never put that name to it, but I understood these other factors. And that could be true of other providers. And they may not have read that article or read that research that to this term moral injury. But it is important to get to that point where you can forgive yourself and have compassion for yourself and for others. And this is also something I've seen a lot in my practice. You know, when I talk about the concepts of forgiveness, acceptance, non-judgment and compassion. That's something that people are much better at giving it to other people. They are towards applying it to themselves. And looking at those of self, that is important because it's like those that essentially is what needs to happen is, you know, an individual who can practice compassion towards themselves and to forgive themselves. And it's like forgiving themselves because, you know, their initial response may be that they didn't do enough or they did the wrong thing. And most often it's they did the best that they could. And for someone who's struggling with moral injury, that concept of I did the best I could does not sit well with them. And they may not forgive themselves for not knowing enough or doing enough. So that self-forgiveness is important. And then and compassion, you know, recognizing our own humanness and our own fallibility. We are all human. Firefighters are not, they're no more special than any other person. It's just that you have training and you had a desire for whatever reason to do the job and you got the training. And I hope nobody's offended because I basically said you're not special. I remember the first time I was told I was not special and it was really an odd moment. And I wish I could remember exactly what my supervisor said to me. But what I do remember from that is how taken aback I was, and because I never thought that I thought of myself as special. After mulling it over, I started to understand that being stuck in my own stuff, my own struggles, my own suffering, and apparently the way I talked about it, or how much I talked about it, or the weight I placed on it, and thinking that I needed to figure it out by myself. I mean, I think that came about because of some, you know, aspects of this moral injury, you know, like not being as good as I thought I should be, not having compassion for myself, and maybe not actually practicing as much compassion towards others as I thought I did. So it was an interesting conversation, and I would challenge you, if you're listening to this, to think about the things that bother you in your life and what you think you should and shouldn't feel, and how much responsibility you think you should have for others. And again, it's like I've had some individuals in my practice that they, and this would be true of many, 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 probably most first responders, is that there's this strong identification with being a first responder. So it's like you have this training and you do these things that most people don't do. So it's hard to not feel like you are special in this way or in some way. And it's like this, you know, I had a couple people that the way they talked about their job and their interactions with people, it sounded like, it's kind of hard to describe, but like, they should be like more respected or revered or acknowledged or something. I mean, it's like they like expected something more. And usually that came out when they felt attacked in some way, either because, you know, somebody in their own suffering on a call tried to put the individual firefighter in their place for whatever reason, or the department does in some way. So it's just, it's kind of interesting to see how all this can manifest and the things that can actually help a person start to heal and how stuck they can get when they're struggling in this way. So that, you know, self-forgiveness and self-compassion, that becomes a big piece of being able to heal through moral injury. And then also acceptance. And sometimes it can be as simple as accepting that you're human and you're not immune to pain and suffering. I mean, and I say it's like as simple as that, knowing that that can be a huge task because we want to protect ourselves and we want to be able to take care of ourselves in every which way. So it is difficult to recognize that fragility in ourselves. Spirituality can be a big component, and it's more so if you considered yourself very spiritual to begin with, and what you've experienced has caused you to question your spirituality. So coming to terms with that and making new meaning around that, and that doesn't mean like making stuff up, but making meaning, just simple as that. So from what you know, what you understand, how can you put that together? Let's see. So what else? I'm trying to think of like, you know, what else would be helpful here? As I said, it's like, this is something that is kind of new to me. And it's not, I guess in the big scheme of things, it's new. It's a newish concept. But I think it's one that's important to consider in the fire service, particularly when we're seeing so many people struggling with how they're treated in the department and what they expect of themselves within the department. So I think that it's important to consider moral injury and the scope of this and how that might fit in. And it's like, I could look at the symptoms of PTSD and I can see how experiencing some of the symptoms within that criteria can contribute to or identify the presence of moral injury. And I think that that is an important, very important thing, in that providers need to understand that. But I think as you as an individual firefighter is like knowing that some of what you're experiencing, it might have come about within the context of a traumatic experience, but it may not be what you think it is. So it can be this moral injury, which is something that is not a diagnosis right now. So it's just a way of thinking about how all the stuff around the traumatic stressor, the incident can influence how you feel. And if you are in therapy and you are getting stuck and feeling stuck, then consider how might moral injury play into that. Like, is that something that you're actually experiencing? And then looking at, okay, well, how can I do something different? How can I find forgiveness for myself? Like, if you're struggling with shame and guilt, for instance, if you're struggling with a over sense of responsibility, I mean, whatever your struggle is, if you feel let down by the department or the leadership or your peers, how can you reconcile that? Understanding that that can be a big part of what you've experienced and where you're at right now. I think maybe that is enough said on that, just because I'm still in a learning stage of this and trying to figure out how I can incorporate this into my practice. But it was something that I had read in an article, and it got me thinking, and it spoke to things that I had been mulling around in my head, and I wanted to share that with you all. So hopefully this wasn't too rambly. I know that I can be a bit rambly in these things, and I hope that you listened through it and it gave you something to think about. Not a whole lot of answers with this or recommendations with this particular episode, more, kind of food for thought and, what is this thing and what can we do with this? I think the one thing that you can take away from this is to know that connection is the number one key to alleviating or helping to heal moral injury. And then also I would say, taking a look at your values and revisiting your values and looking at where your values are disconnected from the organization or the people around you, and figuring out how you can realign to your values. And some of that may take acceptance. For instance, like if it deals with the organization, it's like, well, the organization isn't following their own values, their values. And then that creates tension or this moral injury. So it's like, how can you reconcile that? So one part may be that you accept that the organization is the organization. Maybe you accept that and then you find small ways to help steer the organization back to operating within its values, which I'm guessing that their values are actually aligned with your values, which is why you went into the fire service to begin with. And that's a difficult thing to do alone. So, connect with others around that, make allies in doing this. So if acceptance is not enough and trying to influence the environment is what you want to do, then find allies, connect with others, and then find a way to, start to steer the organization back towards its values, but also be open to how they define their values and how you define your values, because our definitions are important and they can vary a lot, where it can be where people are talking about the same thing but sounding like they're not. So and one way to really navigate through all this is with with story. So our values and our morality come out in our stories. It comes out in how we think about our stories, how we tell our stories. And that's true of other people. And being able to tell our story and be heard, but also to listen to other stories, that is a really powerful way of connecting and helping to reconcile, these perceived or real differences in values and morality. So so that's basically what I've got right now for that aspect. I am going to direct you to, because I think that this kind of fits with it, if you want to find a way having a plan to work around this. I've mentioned him before, but Andrew Huberman, who's the neurobiologist, he has the podcast, and also he's on YouTube. He talks about the science of gratitude and how to build a gratitude practice. And the really fascinating thing about that is that, and he talks about it right up front, is that the science of gratitude, so the research of gratitude and what they found on having a gratitude practice is not the way that we typically have thought about it. So it's not about, like writing a list of I'm grateful for this and this and this and this, but it's more about listening to stories of gratitude from other people, how other people are grateful for whatever, whatever it is that they're experiencing and whatever they may have overcome, or how people are grateful for, you and what you might have done. So it's really connected in story and telling stories and reading stories and listening to stories. And that is, that fits in with processing these things that come up around moral injury. It's story. So with that, I am going to end because I've got way longer than I intended. And hopefully there's a little tidbit that you can take away and think about it and practice it. And then do check out Huberman's podcast on the science of gratitude and how he talks about story, because story really connects us. And that is something that they are showing in the research around moral injury. So hopefully you understand a little bit more about moral injury and how that might come up and why people may be getting diagnosed with PTSD when the biggest struggle they have is with this moral injury. And then hopefully a couple things that you can do to help yourself or arm yourself with when you go out to find someone to work with, so that you can find someone that can help you with some of the issues around moral injury and not get, laser focused on the trauma. So that's it for me. So have a great night, great day, great morning, whenever you listen to this. And thank you so much for listening and sticking with me through this exploration of moral injury. And I look forward to next time.